forgiven and forgotten. Something we can forgive, but we have trouble with that forgotten, don't we? But to think God does that. I'm thinking of some stuff right now. I'm thankful that God forgave and forgot. Amen? Whew, some of y'all still remember some of it, but he doesn't. But man, it's so good. So good to know that this morning. This morning is special in a couple of ways. One is my wife in the back. She said, "Don't miss the surprise." My wife never does this. She says, "There's a surprise sitting there behind my mom and Wesley." And I'm thinking, you know, who some of the family I've been praying would finally come to church and get right with God's come. But, you know, wife never does it to me. And I come out, and Miss Joy Ray's here. And many of you remember Miss Joy. And Miss Joy, it's so good to see you. Some of you don't know Miss Joy. Stand up and wave, Miss Joy. If you never met Miss Joy, her and Miss Jean, her husband Gene, they came to church for you. Lived in Marshville. Right as you go into town here on the left, and very faithful members here, and they have stayed more connected with church. They moved back up Homeway from Miss Joy up New York, and they want to come back, but they have stayed more connected to church than I think anybody's ever moved away, and loved them so, Miss Joy. But Miss Joy's got a lot of physical and health issues, and her husband even more so. So we want to pray for y'all this morning. It's so good to see you. Give Gene a big hug for us, and it's just. It's just good to see you. And like I mentioned, Ryder's got those tonsils coming out in the morning. And so for mom and dad and Ryder and grandma and grandpa, that's hard, you know, whenever you have your child having something done. We've never had done, so we want to pray for them. And we want to pray for Dennis Caudill's family. His uncle's back here. Surprise came. Good to have you, brother, but came to be with us this morning. And Brother Dennis went home to be with the Lord about 2:30 yesterday morning, and going home to be with the Lord. And so we want to pray for that family, and glad to see y'all that got back from vacation, and we still got others gone. It's that time of year for safety. But let's start with prayer. So many other things I didn't mention that I know is going on in your hearts and families that I didn't mention, but you know. Let's take some time right now, and let's just talk to the Lord. Dear God, I am so thankful for the gift of this day that you've given us. Lord, for the breath of life, for each heartbeat, for the gift of Jesus, for that blood that Abby sang about, Lord, and just talking about being forgiven and it's forgotten, and Lord, just to feel that this morning. I pray that right now for someone maybe that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that's never received that forgiveness, and that just to know that today can be the day of salvation, to know that's why you brought them here today. And Lord, I pray that you touch. Lord, I pray for Ryder, Lord. I just pray that everything goes real smooth tomorrow, that you'll just prepare the doctors and nurses, anesthesia, everybody that'll be, have a hand in it. Give them good rest, and just, Lord, and we're really praying that this is going to do a long ways to help his many sicknesses, infections that have come along. We're just praying you'll use this surgery to just help him in a real special way. Pray for mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, all that, Lord, going to be thinking and praying. Lord, you just let your presence be felt, and you be in control, and you take care of him as only you can. And Lord, I thank you for Miss Joey. Mr. Gene, Lord, we miss them, and Lord, know how much they miss being here. I think often how Joy's talked about just how much church family and just meant to her, and then moving back. And so I pray, Lord, as she was just sharing, you know every physical need, every hurt, every pain for her and for Brother Gene there back at home, Lord, that he. He can fill our prayers now, I pray. You give him a sense of your presence there, and you meet their needs. And I pray you give Miss Joy a safe travel home, a good visit. Lord, I thank you for the gift of Dennis. Lord, and I just pray as we honor and remember him a little this morning, Lord, that you just move in all that family, Lord, and be with them during this time as only you can. Lord, our prayer list is long, Lord. There's many needs that we didn't mention by name. We pray for those. I pray for those that are traveling, Lord. You give them a good time away and safely back. We thank you for those that you've already done that for. Others will be leaving in the coming weeks, Lord, that you'll just use a time of refreshing and closeness to you. And Lord, most likely on every pew there's maybe a hurting heart. It may be something physical, emotional, financial. I don't know what it may be, but you know. And I pray that you'd let that person know right now that you know how they're feeling. You know what they need. You love them. And Lord, you are the great physician. And you are our Lord and Savior. And Lord, I pray right now, Lord, just comfort those. Lord, and convict us, all of us, of any unconfessed sin, that this might be a day of cleansing, that we can be forgiven, and then it'll be forgotten by you. And help us do the same. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're visiting with us, you may not even know Brother Dennis. And Brother Dennis just came real special to our church. And so Brother Dennis, like I said, went home with the Lord about 2:30 yesterday. Got a call from the family and went down there. I still call that last night, but it was early morning, you know. And he's got ready to leave, though. Dennis's brother Don, he said, you know, Dennis really wanted to get back to church one more time. Was just thinking, could we have a memorial service for Dennis tomorrow? And I'm thinking, well, yeah, you know, I was thinking 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, afternoon's free, whatever, I'll do as quick as y'all want to. And he said, no, at church. I mean, at church. And he handed me Dennis's picture. And now, isn't that a sharp three-piece suit Dennis now? I tell you what. So he handed me Dennis's picture and handed me Dennis's Bible. I was flipping through a little bit before I left, and I told him it was kind of amazing. I thought it was neat. And that one thing he kept in here was the bulletin for Mother's Day this year. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But I don't know that I'd really had anybody ever ask me to do that or us to do that. And I've really been praying lately God will transform my mind about things and transform my life more, as the verse says in Hebrews, not to be conformed. And I said, hey, sounds good. And I really, more as the days went by, I realized that I think it was the reason God had in this, that more so than even Donna's brother thought of, or that I even thought of too. So we'll do that a minute this morning before we jump into the message. And if you're visiting, you didn't know Dennis, I wish you got a chance to meet him. But I think God will have something for you in this too. The greatest memory I have of Dennis, Brother Dennis Caldwell, is this. It starts with this. I wish I listened to God better. I wish I listened to God every day like I can almost seem like some days. Amen? And I had one of those days. We built the church. We made a commitment that we wanted to share Jesus Christ with everyone that came onto this property to do anything. Now, that sounds like a worthy goal, and that became kind of a challenging goal, okay? So that meant someone had to be here anytime's going on. And then we even developed the Thursday lunch, where the ladies of the church committed to cooking lunch for the workers every Thursday. I mean, a home-cooked meal. And I'm telling you, we got work done on Thursday. Man, they pile in here, and I get to share the gospel and some scripture, and we share Jesus, and we feed them. But other than that, y'all, there's nobody out here during the week, amen? I don't spend a lot of time hanging out at the church. I like to be in the field working, either be out visiting the hospital, whatever, so I don't come to the building a lot because nobody here, nothing to do here. And so I had one day, and I can just remember as clearly as I can, there was really no reason at all to come by. And I came in this side door here, and I'm walking in. And I walk in and I look and I get surprised, okay? Ain't nobody here, amen? There's just me here. And I look up and there's a man up in the balcony. Startled me. And so I went and introduced myself, and Eric, it was Dennis Caldwell, working for Byram Heating and Air. And he was out here, I don't know, either servicing Colette or working on something, you know. And I had never met Dennis before, never knew him. And didn't take long to find out why God had sent me out and why God had sent Dennis out that day. And that was the day that, sitting right here in the church, Dennis gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Amen? I'll never forget it. It's the most awesome, wonderful thing. Brother Dennis grew to love Dennis very much, become in fact good friends with Dennis. And I thank everybody, before I go too much farther, I thank everybody that and I can't call over your names, but that kind of reached out in the last few weeks. And then we'll meet some Randy. Randy, God laid on his heart to just mow Dennis's yard for him. And he offered, Randy Dennis had a talk with me about that. He said, Randy Hamilton has offered, keeps wanting to mow my yard. And he had to know Dennis. And he said, you know, maybe I just ought to let him. And I said, Dennis, yes, you need to let him. That's something that God's put on his heart, and he'd do so. And that was one of the first things, as we finished everything and left, it came to their mind that Randy was coming to mow the yard yesterday. He'd been by to check on Dennis and wanted to make sure he knew, so appreciate that. There was a list of you, and I still have on my desk, that you were calling him every day. You had a day of the week that you called just to check on him. And thank you for doing that. That meant a lot. There's some of you that took him for a ride, took him to do something. And thank y'all for doing that. It meant a lot to him. One thing that also was special, and I want to make sure, y'all, we need to learn. That's why it's for all of us to take more time. And sometimes don't hesitate to stop me if I'm missing something. But, you know, it's not many weeks ago that Dennis and his brother Don had come to church, and not physically able to come to church. I mean, really not physically able to come, but he told me first his cancer diagnosis was worse. He said, I hope I can still come to church. And so I was over here, and, you know, we're habit people, right? And so I, you know, we're greeting on this side, do my thing, and I'm working my way up here. And all of a sudden, I see Dennis, and I see his brother Don sitting right here. And it shocked me, Mike. I'm like, well, you know, and I felt so convicted, Rick. I'm like, me praying for him, you know, and praying he can feel like coming. And when God does something, the preacher is shocked that he's sitting here. Amen? And so they came, and you know, and my family, we all commented, Dennis was really, you know, cancer was really racking his body and really having an effect quickly on his body. But I will never forget that next week when I was visiting Dennis. And y'all, remember this one, remember, we need to learn from what God is doing all the time in every situation, amen? Dennis told me this. He said, so what we did was, the finished story, we gathered around and prayed over Dennis. And he told me that day, he said, preacher, he said, I think people were really glad to see me. He said, I think people were really glad to see me that day. And I said, Dennis, Lord, man, that you wanted to come, that you're able to come. And I said, Dennis, we love you. People love you. So what's important to understand is this. Dennis never got married, never had children of his own, never had family of his own. Dennis, he took care of his mom and dad as they got older. And I believe his dad was still alive when he started coming here and got saved. His dad died not long after. So he gave his life to really serving, taking care of mom and dad. And then his brother had a difficult time, and Dennis stood right with his brother, committed a lot of weekends to helping his brother. It's what he did. So Dennis lived alone. And oftentimes when you live alone, and so after mom and dad die and life goes on, he made the comment to me. He said, you know, he said, preacher, I used to like to be alone. He said, but I'm not liking to be alone anymore. And when those things happen, your mind can really play tricks on you. So, you know, we need to remember that, church. Amen? We need to remember that it's just not when somebody comes like Dennis who's battling cancer and we were glad to see him and we were glad to do all that. But see, somebody here this morning, you're feeling that way. You're kind of like, I don't know if anybody is really glad to see me right now. And I'm not really glad to see myself right now in the mirror because I'm just really hurting and a lot going on. And so we need to remember that heart's cry that, y'all, we live in a hard world, amen? And Satan's attacking and trouble's happening, and we need to we need to remember that when we're in church or we're in Walmart or we're at work, we need to let people know that we're glad to see them. We don't do that all the time, do we? So Dennis cared for his family. Dennis loved to ride. I wish I knew how many miles that man rode alone or with someone else. I mean, he would ride everywhere. He'd go eat breakfast somewhere and he'd ride. He'd take a day off work to go and ride and just love to ride and love to get out. Really neat guy. Dennis, had this gift. He could see eagles. And the Bible speaks of it. The Bible speaks of mounting up on wings of eagles and soaring. And I love that verse. So Dennis, he could be riding in the work van out in the country somewhere in Anson County. He'd see an eagle. He'd go out on his rides and he'd go over Lake Tillery or he'd go to the preserve. He'd see eagles, you know, and told me about it. And I said, Dennis, man, I ain't never seen an eagle in the wild. I've seen them on TV. I've seen pictures of them. I've never seen one. Preacher, I'll take you to see an eagle. Man, I'm all right. So several years back, Dennis took a day off work. I took a morning. We went riding up somewhere way, I don't know where we was at, well, you know, looking for it. Couldn't find an eagle anywhere. I'm really disappointed. Dennis, weren't many weeks later, I'm sitting down here as I do in the front seat, and I think Dennis got more joy out of this than probably anything I've ever seen him do with me. He comes up behind me and has got an 8x10 picture that he's printed out of an eagle that he saw that week. Hey, preacher. So when he got was getting sicker, we did kind of a day off thing, but he finally wasn't able to work anymore. And the goal was, you know, Dennis wants preacher to see an eagle. And we struck out two different times. He wasn't physically, I know he didn't feel like it, won't ever see one. We go over to Lake Tillery at the dam. It's a busy road, nowhere to park. They're building a boat landing, and Dennis said, hey, when they get that built, we go. And all of a sudden, here comes an eagle. I've got my camera out. Dennis is excited. I'm excited. It's been a long distance. Preacher's seen an eagle. Everything's fine. We get home. We pull up in his driveway. Some of you know where Dennis lives. We pull up in his driveway. And I told him, and I had my camera. I said, my daughter knows a way that you can magnify these. I'd never done it. These pictures so you can look at them. And I said, let's look at this eagle. And so I magnified and I pitched and I looked. I said, Dennis. Oh, my goodness. It was some other old big bird, weren't an eagle. And so we knew the journey continued. I got home and I shared this story with my family. And my family all began to jump on me. Daddy, how dare you do that to Dennis? Why did you do that to Dennis? Dennis is battling cancer. Why would you disappoint Dennis after? Why did you do that? I said, y'all, Dennis sees eagles everywhere. Dennis is an eagle whisperer. He's trying to show me an eagle. So I know only the Lord can do it. And if I know Dennis is too busy now with his mom and dad and family and doing any things, but if there's any way Dennis can put in a word that some way or another I can see an eagle without me going to the Rapture Center in Charlotte, y'all pray for me. So it's an ongoing joke. Dennis just he was fun to be around. Dennis was quiet. He didn't say a whole lot. You may be sitting here saying, well, I remember who you're talking about, but he's just quiet. But Dennis loved you. And there'll be a memorial service. It'll be at McEwen's. He was a donor. It's kind of neat. Even with cancer, you can be a donor. I think his retinas was one thing, but when they get all that planned out, we'll have something to cue. And so pray for the family. We'll be gathering them. Maybe some of you can come. But I think that God knew and we knew that we kind of needed this time this morning to remember him, to celebrate him, and to learn some lessons too. Going to miss him. Amen? Going to miss him. Turn your Bibles to John 14. I really thought God was really changing my direction totally from my message and has somewhat, But as I read the passage he brought me to, I realized that it still was connected to where we've been at. So John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, if you're physically able, will you stand with me? Thank you, choir. What a song. Felt like we were at a memorial service with that song, Tim. Amen. God worked that out in Abby. Dennis is only in heaven because of what Jesus Christ did. You can be a good man. You can take care of mom and dad. You can do whatever you want to do. But you can't go to heaven unless you give your life to Jesus Christ. And I know he's there today for that reason and that reason only. Verse 1 of John 14 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him, and we and have seen him." Dear God, I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you'll make it alive this morning to us, Lord, as we come and just seeking the freshness of your word and your will and your way. Lord, help us. We might hide behind the cross. I pray I might say every word that you'd have me say and say none that you'd not have me say, dear God. And that you work through your spirit beginning in me, in each of us here today. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. May be seated. Look at those words. Words coming from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. "Let not your heart be troubled." They were troubled in that they were concerned about, you know, going to heaven, what was going to happen next, all those things would come. But this morning I want to tell you that when Jesus Christ speaks in these words, "Let not your heart be troubled," he is speaking to each and every one of us. He's speaking to us each and every day. It's not just in death. It's not just in the big things. But I dare say that there's many of you here this morning that your heart is troubled. And I may know some things that can be troubling to your heart that are going on. It can be troubling to a heart to have a child, to getting ready to have surgery. There is no such thing as minor surgery. I heard the definition of minor surgery is it's not happening to you, amen, or to your child. It troubles our heart. Every one of us has somebody here that are lost. I was visiting this week, and as I'm was out visiting, I periodically run into somebody that's not from the church family, and I see this dear lady often. Her husband's, they don't even live in this area, but her husband's always had bad health. She'd say most of his life, and as I was sitting, every time I would see her, it was troubling to her what was going on with her husband. This week I see her, and as I would do every time, I said, "How's your husband?" She said, and looked at me, she said, "He passed away on the 7th. Was shocked. He fell, got an infection, didn't get better because of all those sicknesses. He died." You could sense her troubled heart, and her heart had been troubled for years because of her husband's lifestyle, his unwillingness to acknowledge God, talk about God, want nothing to do with God. A chaplain comes by for hospice. Thank God for hospice. Amen. They ministered to Dennis, and ministered to, probably touched everybody's family in some way in this church. The chaplain, I remember I was sitting with Dennis, and a new chaplain called, wanted to come by and see in the afternoon. And Dennis was kind of looking like wanting to get my approval. I said, "Dennis, man, awesome, somebody's coming." Chaplain comes to see this dear lady's husband. Was able to ensure notes so that he can know the grace of God right before he dies, finds Jesus Christ. How many years had her heart been troubled for that lost husband? Our hearts are troubled, amen? We've got lost family. We've got lost friends. Our hearts are troubled. You may have had some testing or going for testing. You hadn't even told the preacher about it. You may have told not many people, and your heart's troubled about what physically may be going on. Your heart's troubled about what's happening at work or not happening at work. You're troubled about how the next school year is going to be. You're troubled. See, we live in a world that is full of trouble. Amen? The Bible even speaks of that our days are full of trouble. And literally my paraphrase, our days are full of trouble and then we die. Trouble. Tony mentioned a challenge back at work. We praise God, continue to pray. We kind of, I guess I'd eased up a little not thinking about this. Tony gets a unique, has a hard engine job, and it's placing him in positions, and it's troubling his, where he had heart surgery. And it's troubled his wheat to go through that. We've all experienced those things. I don't know exactly what all is troubling you right now. But Jesus Christ, from his word and from a heart that loved you enough to die for you and loves us beyond any way we can imagine, is saying to us this morning, saying to you and saying to I, he says, let not your heart be troubled. And it'd be easy for all of us to say, well, that's easy, preacher, that, you know, to say those words, to read those words, but you just don't understand how troubled my heart is. And I don't understand exactly how troubled your heart is, but I do know what it means to have a troubled heart. I do know what it means. I do know what it means also that when Jesus Christ says, let not your heart be troubled, it's not mere words, but what his desire is for all of us is that behind that comes all the promises and all the power of God and of his word. And what he's saying is, the promise that if you don't take anything away from this verse and this passage this morning is that when Jesus Christ says, let not your heart be troubled, he does not want our heart to be troubled. It doesn't matter what's going on. You may have caused the trouble, but what Jesus Christ is saying is, listen, I'm here with that outstretched hand like I had to Peter as he was sinking in that water. And I'm telling you right now this morning on July 16th, this Sunday, that I'm saying that let not your heart be troubled. And I'm here and I will move heaven and earth. And I'm available. And if you will just try me and prove me, I will show you that how I will put into action that your circumstances may not change, but I care about your heart and that I want to help your heart not to be troubled. Y'all, that's something to get excited about, Dickie. That's something to say, hey, you know, I may not feel it when during this message. I may not even feel it in the next few days, but I am going to claim and believe that regardless of what's going on or how difficult it may seem or what may come that we don't know is coming, Scott, that God is a God that he does not want our heart to be troubled. He knows they'll be troubled. He's going to use that trouble to grow our faith and to help us and show us. It may be testing. It may be consequences. But what he says, the promise is that he cares and he knows. He knows if that we don't deal with that troubled heart, we're in trouble. Amen? We're in trouble. Rick, being an EMT over there, and I know that Rick goes out to accidents and things, and there's trouble. He deals with trouble all the time in his job there at the fire department. But there's times that Rick wouldn't be aware, and I wouldn't be aware, that he'll go out to pick somebody up, and he's the first one there, and the ambulance comes, and the problem is the person has had a troubled heart so long, it's just wore their heart out, it's wore their mind out, they've depressed, their life's been troubled so much, and their body's being racked physically for what's going on because of the trouble. See, God knows what trouble can do for us, and what God is saying is, listen, hear my cry this morning that I am caring about your heart. I don't want it to be troubled. We've been talking about for some Sundays now this relationship, and I keep asking you the question, are you experiencing the relationship that God really wants to have with you? And let me encourage you. I'm asking myself that question, and I'm answering each time I ask, no. I realize, no. I'm not yet experiencing that relationship. It's a growing thing. Man, our relationship with God can be such a one. This is it. And I've told y'all this before. I woke up in the morning before, and I've had so much trouble when I was working in the business world that I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I don't want to go. I don't say I make it through the day. Somebody's going to be fussing at me and cussing at me. Or I woke up in the middle of the night one time. I worked with a computer company, we do companies' payrolls. And I worked with new customers. And it was the first payroll for this company. And you had these little codes you put in. And I woke up at 2 a.m. And all of a sudden I remembered that I got the wrong code in and knew that everybody that had that on their check was going to be wrong. Anyone going back to sleep after that? And I was so troubled that hey, let's be honest. The first thought would be is, I think it might be a good day to find another job. Maybe just quit. Amen? I don't want to face my boss. I don't want to face this anymore. But thank God I had gotten that time where God had been having me listen to the Christian radio station instead of the other radio station. I love all kind of music, still listen, but I was listening. And then I'd gotten this habit. I was so hungry for the Word of God, and God was growing me, and I was doing more in the church, and I was having my morning devotions, and I was even literally, I taped some sermons at night, and I was listening to a sermon going down the road. And so what I found was, in the midst of making mistakes and trouble and facing things, that God had a word, and the Bible says there's a peace that passes all understanding. So that's what you want each day, right? Cancer very seldom gets cured, amen? But there can be peace in the battle. Work often, Tim, doesn't change very much. But there really can be peace that passes understanding. That God says, if you'll enter into a relationship that I want, this growing, exciting relationship, it reminds me when he says, listen, he says, let not your heart trouble. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe that through God's Son, believing in him, in his Son Jesus, that there's everything I need, everything I want. He has the answer for the trouble. He has the answer for how I'm feeling. And that what I need to do is just go after him. And that believing is a growing relationship. I saw Sandra in school, in high school. I mentioned part of this story not long ago, and a friend of mine, Ricky Laney. Some of you know Ricky from Marshville. I'm trying to get Ricky to church. If you see him this week, tell him. Talked about him. I love him. One of my best friends ever. Ricky's dating Sandra's best friend. He says, hey, you want to go out with her? I said, yeah, I'd like to do that. He said, they're having my girlfriend, Sherry, they're having a revival over at Dawson's Grove, and we'll go tonight. I ain't never been to a revival other than one mom and daddy made go in my life. And I was so excited to go to church in a revival, actually, in my life. I mean, I'm excited to go to church. And so went to church and met her. I went back to revival. Man, the preaching was so good. I went to revival the next night. And so we had no relationship, Eddie. But I saw that maybe it was something there. And so I started investing time in that relationship. Hey, you want to go out Friday? Yeah, Friday. Hey, we'll do something Sunday afternoon. Her mama's sitting here. And I tried to spoil her. Amen? Amen? I wanted a close relationship. I was working. I had me a good job after school. And so, man, on Friday night, let me see if I can get this right, not get it wrong. On Friday night, we try to go to the fish camp. Amen. Can I get a witness? Take her to the fish camp. On Saturday night, let's go up to Quincy's. They didn't have the buffet back then. You went through the line. They brought you food. Sunday night, pizza night. Either Pizza Hut or we might go all the way to Waysboro Rockingham, eat at the Pizza Inn. I couldn't spend enough time with her. I've been married 28 years. And do I have the relationship exactly and perfectly I want with my wife right now? No. So you know what I want to do? Spend more time with her. I'm thankful to be working for God and be on call 24/7 for God and for y'all. Along with that benefit is my wife's going to the doctor. I'm going to care if I can. Amen. She needs to go do something on Monday morning. Well, if I ain't at the hospital, I might go. I want to spend more time, and I want to keep working on. Y'all follow where I'm going? See, some of you are extending to experience trouble in your lives with your relationship and outwardly. And God, it's a simple thing. Just put more time in it. And it's not enough. Sometimes I find myself and I'll just be, and I'm thinking, man, I need to study more. And I've got Sundays coming. I need to get this message ready. I need to do something. And oftentimes it's when God, he gives me nothing. I'm getting nowhere. He gets me out of the seat and he sends me out. And the message is out there waiting. Amen, Brother Jim? It's out there waiting. I never will forget. I was in Monroe. Y'all, you hear my heart. I get troubled about a lot of things. Y'all with me? Y'all do that too? I get troubled. And I was riding through Monroe and all that stuff in my mind. I got family stuff. I got children. I got church stuff. I got financial stuff. And man, I want to hear God. I want to hear Him more. And it's like he just said, go. It's years ago. Go. And another gentleman fighting cancer, like, go see him. I'm thinking, I sure ain't accomplishing nothing where I'm going now. I'll head on. I pull up in the driveway. His brother gets out of the pickup same time I do. Says, the family call you? I said, no. I said, oh, it's not good. Went in, gentleman racked with cancer, just almost similar to Dennis. And he's sitting on the edge of the bed, smiling. Didn't get a word out of my mouth. Hey, preacher, how's your family doing? How's your family doing? Good to see you. And within the hour, he got back in bed. He lay down. He closed his eyes. He went home to heaven. Your relationship with God causes you, for Him to take you and put you into service to God. And I tell you all this time and time again, you're working around lost people and troubled people and hurting people. It's your jobs. Some of you, like David and Randy, you're on your truck. You're headed places that I never go. You're going places that the preacher never gets to. And listen. Every one of us, you and I, sometimes we're so busy, so aggravated, so troubled going on, we're not smiling. We're not going to ask that person anything because, to be honest, we really don't like that person. But because they're just about the devil to deal with, and I don't want nothing to do with them, especially today. Y'all all right? The answer to a troubled heart is Jesus. But the answer is being Jesus to others. You know, I hope when I'm an hour away from death, if my body's racked with some disease, that somebody comes in the room, I hope I ask them how their family is and how they're doing. And just that, you know, and that I'm not so bitter and I'm not so focused on myself. See, oftentimes the very things that God has for us and wants us to have, I mean, it's just waiting. I've been a pastor for over 20 years now. I've been saved since I was 10 years old, and I'm 53 years old. And I still read this and go, oh, thank you, Lord. I didn't remember that was there. Oh, gosh, I needed that. In the book of Job, most of you remember the story of Job. He was tested by God. Satan allowed to unleash, took his possessions, took his children. His wife said, why don't you curse God and die? But what oftentimes is missed is, you know, Job had those really wonderful friends that you all want to have in a situation like that who pretty much blamed him. But at the very end of Job, and Job's life's been full of trouble, he's still troubled physically, there's a turn that happens. In fact, I hadn't even planned to do this, but in the 1 minute we've got less, turn me to the book of Job. We keep waiting for God to help us with our trouble. We keep wanting God to do something with our trouble. Some of you can find it for me. It says when Job prays for his friends, things begin to change. Can somebody help me out? Because I hadn't planned to share it. It's right at the end, and it's hiding from me. I love my son. Amen. 42:10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Remember, Job's friends had almost become enemies to him. So what the picture is, what Job is doing, Job's in a mess of trouble, but he knows God wants to help him. And he begins to care and reach out to others. Would you bow with me, every head bowed, every eye closed? Remember, we shared Dennis today, and Dennis went to heaven because of Jesus. And by, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, surrendered, had that life-changing day when you turned from self and sin and invited him to come into your heart, then today is that day. You need Jesus. How about that relationship? Or how about your trouble? Would you bring that trouble to an altar this morning? In believing that Jesus doesn't want your heart to be in trouble, but believing also that it's going to require you entering into a closer relationship and beginning to reach out and do things maybe you're not comfortable with or you even want to do. But believing maybe that's the very thing that Jesus is going to use to help you with your trouble as you help somebody else with their trouble. Would you come? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.